Dafkuf Yud Chet, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, we'll I think we could start with let me see, Tuf Kuf Yud Zayin should be a good place to start. Let me just see. Yeah. Now, in order to start a Tuf Kuf Yud Zayin,
I do have it.
You do have it. Excellent.
We would really want to open up to the Gemara. Let me just get the right Omer. It should be Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis in Masecht Chulin, of course. And although we've seen this Gemara in the past, we've never seen it together with the Moreshes Moshe. I mean, we did start, but we never actually finished it.
So which stuff is it on?
So Kuf Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And we're going to begin with the first of the wide lines. If you have that. I'm just trying to take a minute's time to sort of clear a little bit the desk here. Give me a second. Okay, so we have this here. All right. Okay. Okay, so we have Itmar, a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And what's going to be the case? It's going to be a case of Gogim Sha'ol Mekar, right? So he cooks fish in a fleshika pot, and everything's a ben yomo. Now he wants to take this fish, which has the tam of basar in it, and eat it with kutach, with milchis. So here the Gemara records a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amar Asul Yochlo B'Kutach U'Shmuel Amar Mutul Yochlo B'Kutach. Rav considers this no same tam, which means that the tam of the basa went into the fish, and now you're going to take this tam of basa, the fish, and you're going to use it with milchix. That's impossible. And Shmuel says no. Why? It's no same tam bar no same tam. So let's try to understand what that means. No same tam bar no same time. So we'll start with a paragraph here on the bottom right that says Shmuel Omer. You have it? Lenny, you don't have this, do you? We may have other copies floating around, but the challenge is to go find them. You might be able to find them here. I don't know. Yosef, do you know what, by chance, are there any extra copies here?
I can't tell you.
You found.
This is what it looks like.
This is what you found in your collection.
No, I had this in my.
Your own collection.
I had this in my Gemara. You're starting on Yud Zayin.
Kuf Yud Zayin. I mean, tough Kuf Yud Zayin.
Tough Kuf Yud Zayin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ushmuel Amar.
Yeah.
Rav Tavku
Yud
Zayin.
Oh. Okay, good.
And your first.
Very good. Very good. Tough Yud Zayin, Tough Yud Kuf Yud Tess. Again, if you have Tough Kuf Yud Tess, that's even also better.
Test 12.
But if you know, I'm not sure we'll get to that today, but. So he says the following.
Tess Zayin.
Harishonim Mechleku B'Eze Tam Nemar Hachisoro. Which means the following. That according to Shmuel, and Shmuel doesn't deny the principle of tam ki ikar. What is it about this no saying tam bar no saying tam that has some sort of a chisaron? Why is this not, as Rav would say, a tam basar, which should generate an isur of the chol? Maishno. So the first approach, which he identifies with the Ramban and the Rashbo, we'll see that the Ramban himself is going to actually present another possibility. But in this first possibility, Shmuel is classifying the Kutach as Tam Shlishi, which means the following, that the Tam from the original meat goes into the pot, and the pot gives its tam into the fish. By the time the tam is absorbed by the fish, you're up to tam sheni. Correct? Because the first blia was into the walls of the pot. The second blia is from the walls of the pot into the fish. So you now have tam sheni. Now, if there's going to be an asinus tam from that tam sheni, which is the meat tam in the fish, into the kuta, that's already considered tam shlishi. That's already a third blia.
Right.
And the Torah says tam ki ikar either the first blia or the second blia. Now he adds the following words here, which you'll see on the top left column. He says, V'ein ha'iser basar b'cholav elam kein nosnev tam ze b'zeh. Now the reason I emphasize this to you, even though I think it's a milsa de pshita, that if you asked me for a basic, you know, working definition of basa b'cholav, I would have told you that it certainly means that there's a tam of basar going into the cholav, and nosnim tam ze b'zeh. But the reason I emphasize this to you is because later on, in this very same presentation, he seems to assume that this is not necessarily so. It's hard to question that, but if you take a look in number Gimel, just for a second, I mean, we're going to go through this line by line, but if you take a look at number Gimel, do you see what I mean by number Gimel? Yes,
yeah,
no, right. Maybe?
Yeah, yeah. 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 Tam Sheni.
John, you see that Gimel there?
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the very end of that paragraph, Gimel, Disvirale, you'll see on the next to the last line, She'ein Tzarech She'yu Shnehem Nosnim Tam Zeh V'Zeh. And I have no doubt in my mind that when he gets to number Gimel, he's writing the exact opposite of what he wrote in number Aleph, and this is all deliberate. He's telling you that at this point, when we identify Shmuel as what we call Tam Shlishi, we're holding that there's no such thing as an Isur Basar B'Cholav, Elam Kein Nosnim Tam Ze B'Zeh. Whereas when he gets to the third approach, which he's going to identify as the approach of Rabbi Kiva Eger, and perhaps it even goes back to the Rashba, all of a sudden he switches his tune. Ein Tzarech She'yu Shneihem Nosnim Tam Ze B'Zeh.
So, Kedei Lesor.
Kedei Lesor. I meant to say Kedei Lesor, right?
Okay.
So I'm just trying to bavard you that this line on the top of the column is a very important line. Although, again, as I said, intuitively, what my kamashlam pshita? I mean, how could it be otherwise? We know that the essence of basar b'cholav is the tam cholav into the basar, and vice versa. And now he goes on to say that the Ritva adds that af b'sheni lo yoev taima elapurta, that we should enhance this understanding of Shmuel by saying that even when we get to tam sheni, it's not really a full-fledged tam, meaning that the tam already, by the time you get to the second level, it's already gone down, it's reduced, it's not a full-fledged tam. Which might mean, by the way, that if you cook basar shchuta in a kli, a container that was used for basar nevela, that it could be that that din of tav is already what he calls purta. It's not a full-fledged tav. Again, it's definitely asur, and you're not allowed to eat this meat that was cooked in a ben yomo of a kedera of nevela, but you should know it's already down by one decibel. It's already a tav purta because it's a tav sheni. And what the Ritva is trying to enhance is that if tav equals tav equals tav, what difference does it make if you call it a tav sheni or a tav shlishi? And the Ritva is answering that already when you got to the level of tav sheni, it's already gone down, and that tav sheni doesn't have the power to generate a tav shlishi of isur because it itself is a tav purta. V'lachein sharinan b'shlishi v'chein kosav haran. So this is to answer the question of the Ramban. The Ramban is going to answer, if tav sheni would be asur, then why shouldn't tav shlishi should be asur? You see from tav sheni that it doesn't go down a madrega. But the answer is, says the Ritva the Ran, there is a madrega that's beni ubeni, and although it's not the original tam in any sense, but it's enough of a tam to be asur. But since it's not equivalent to the original tam, it doesn't have the power to generate a tam isur in tam shlishi. Now we get up to base. The only problem I have is that I must get myself a little bit.
Yeah, I can get it for you.
Yeah, you know what? Just add like a half a cup of hot water in such a way I'll be able to drink it now. I got a little bit I was already late for my first shiur this morning, and it caused a whole dynamo effect, the domino effect, and I just didn't get, you know, the 2 minutes to, because on Thursdays I try to help out Rabbi Moyes, and I give the chevra that are learning sota a little bit of chazara on what they learned, so I don't have that little break in the middle. Thank you so much. Okay, now let's go on to the second explanation. And this is really pretty radical. And he says the following. Ein b'koach hatam ha-sheni atzmo lios osur. Now, what does that mean? Ein mekach tam sheni lios osur. We know that tam sheni is osur, like in the case where you cooked kosher meat in a non-kosher pot. He says, "V'dogim shalom v'kara haynu shebishlam im basar." That Shmuel's heter of adding the fish into the kutach is a very radical and very far-reaching heter, and would apply even if he cooked fish and meat in the same pot. Why? Because even if he cooks them both in the same pot, the tam of basar into the fish is called a tam sheni. We assumed that the tam of basar, the fish, is a tam sheni only because there was no actual basar being cooked with fish, but rather he used a kedera bisaris, so that the tam of the basar went into the kedera, and from the kedera into the fish. That made the fish into a tam sheni. But now, in the name of the Ramban, again, this is not the Ramban's own opinion, but the Ramban quotes such an opinion, Shmuel permits you to take the fish and use it with kutach even though the fish was cooked in the same pot as basar. Because that itself, the tam of basar in the fish, is classified as a tam sheni. Which again, this is pretty way out, because how can you call this a tam sheni when the Torah says that if you cook two things together, that's called tam ki ikar, and the tam from one goes into the other, and vice versa. So how can you take fish and cook it together with meat and then tell me that the tam of basar in the fish is a tam sheni? And he says, shatam shemis arev makutach hu tam sheni. So what he's saying here is that Shmuel is matir etam sheni in the case of a terabola. Now what does that mean, etam sheni? He cooks the fish with meat. Is that etam sheni? No, that can't be considered etam sheni. Impossible. That's an untenable possibility. It's not possible, because if he cooks fish or anything for that matter with treif, with nevela, that's not a tam shady, that's a tam risha.
But that's not called beheter.
Okay, it's not beheter, but it still is a tam risha. You can't deny it. So even in the case of a heter, where it's fish, it's still called a tam risha. The Ramban in the name of the Yesh Omrim is being mechadish an unbelievable chiddush. That although this is a tam rishon, when it transfers over to the kutach, that becomes a tam sheni. And the essence of Shmuel is that a tam sheni is mutter. Not the way we said in the Ramban in the first round, that Shmuel is being matter because of tam shlishi, but rather Shmuel is being matter be tam sheni. And this has tremendous repercussions, because it means that if I cook parva with fleishiks, I can eat that parva, according to Shmuel, together with milchiks. Because by the time it gets mixed into the milchiks, it's a tam sheni, and Shmuel is matir a tam sheni. Now, Yosef, I think we have to add your stipulation, which I'm surprised he doesn't add here, that only applies in the case of a terabola, which means that if I were to cook kosher meat with trefa meat, with nevela, and then I would take that so-called kosher meat and cook it in the third pot, everything would become also in the third pot. Now, we would need bittul of shishim, and now do we apply chatichanas nevela? Do we not apply chatichanas nevela? You know, you can spend a month on that and figure out, do I need shishim against the original meat, or I need shishim against the second piece of meat? But certainly we're dealing with an isa doraisa, even when that meat, which was kosher, is now passing on that tam as a tam sheni in the next tavshil. And if we don't have shishim, then you can bet your bottom dollar that we're dealing with a full-fledged iser of tam ki ikar. Here we have to add the principle, to explain Shmuel, of hetera bola, which means that if we combine hetera bola with tam sheni in this case, that's going to generate a heter. So since the fish is heter, does the fish have the power of blia to generate an iser in kutach? The fish now absorbed a tam rishon of basa, because the fish and the meat were cooked in the same pot. Does that tam rishon of basa, which is in the fish now, transmit itself to the kutach when he mixes the fish with the kutach? And the answer is that's a tam sheni. What makes it into a tam sheni? Hetera bola. Because the fish itself was heter. So Rabosai, we have a clear-cut nafkamina here between the first approach of the Ramban and the second of the Acherim in the Ramban. What happens, according to Shmuel, if you cook fish with meat? Can you eat the fish with milchiks? And now we're up to Gimel. Ain bekoach tam sheni atzvo lios osur, but the iri hocha medogim shes basha mekara reikonis shel basar, im nis basha im basar, osur li ochlo im kutach. Now this is a very strange approach, which in my, you know, to my ears, at first glance, sounds like A and not A at the same time. There's a contradiction in terms here. Because on the one hand, he's telling me that a tam sheni is not osur, which is exactly what we said before in the name of the Acherim of the Ramban. On the other hand, he's saying that if I get a tam sheni when I cook the basar together with fish, I certainly cannot eat that fish with milchiks. We're talking about a case where the dogim were cooked in a fleishik pot, but it's an empty fleishik pot. So how can you then turn around and tell me that ein b'koch tam sheni atzvo lios osur? This third approach should be identified with the first approach, that ein b'koch tam sheni less or tam shlishi. That I understand. But he's saying something totally different. He's saying that this third approach, which he identifies as Rabbi Kivager, belongs to the second school of thought that ein mekach tam sheni atzmo lios asur. No, if ein mekach tam sheni lios asur, we just finished saying that even if you cook the fish directly with what? With basar in the same pot, it's a tam sheni and it's not asur. And if I could cook the fish together with milchix, even though I cooked the fish originally together with a piece of meat. No, now he's saying the following. But if he cooked the fish with a piece of meat, then it's asur. You can't use that fish with milk. Well, why? You just finished telling me that ein mekach tam sheni lios asur.
What is a tam
rishon? Okay. So I think what he's saying here is that a tam sheni is not asur. That's for sure. And that's the yesod of Shmuel. Shmuel is built on the fact that a tam sheni cannot generate isur. However, let's distinguish between the following two cases. One is where you cook the fish in a fleshika pot and empty, and the other case is where he cooked the fish with meat. And if he cooks the fish with meat in the same pot, then the original tam of basar is in the meat, is in the fish. And that fish is considered a tam rishon, which could generate an isur. In order to achieve a tam sheni, I need the tam basar to go into the kli, and from the kli into the meat. That's called a tam sheni. Again, that's a tam sheni, which is a tera bala, and therefore, in and of itself, it would not generate an isur. So, for example, I would not equate the following two cases. The case where he cooks kosher meat in a treifa pot, and the case where he cooks fish in a fleshika pot. If he cooks meat, kosher meat in a fleshika pot, in a treifa pot, in that case, that tam sheni itself will generate an isur because it's not hetera bola, but rather it's isura bola. Only in the case where he cooked fish in a fleshika pot, then I could say that the tam is a tam heter, that's called a tera bola, and ein bekach tam sheni atzmo lios asur, that the tam sheni that went from the basar into the kli and from the kli into the fish could not generate an isur because that's a tam sheni of hetera bola. That would not apply to the case where he cooks the vela in a pot, and then he uses the same pot to cook basar kosher, because that would be a tam sheni of isur, and a tam sheni of isur is another example or manifestation of the principle of tam ki ikar. Here, we're not going to apply the principle of tam ki ikar in the tam sheni because it's a terem bala. Even when the tam of the basar that went into the kalim now went into the fish, it's still mutter. But now he adds this explanation or principle which I mentioned to you at the outset. The ein tzarich sheyitnu tam zebazeh. He repeats himself again at the end of the paragraph. And that stands in contrast to the top page of this page, of this column on this page, where he says, V'ein iser basa b'cholav ela imkein nosnim tam zebazeh. So we want to make an attempt at trying to understand what he means that ein tzarich sheyu shneihem nosnim tam zebazeh. Now I had a hava mina here that maybe what he means is the following, but the truth is, I think I'm going to have to reject this hava mina. But right now, this is what I have in my mind. When he cooks the fish with basar in the same pot, then basically he's got the tam of basar in the dogim. because they were both cooked simultaneously in the same pot. So I might argue the following, that in such a case, the basar, if he puts it into kutach, becomes the intermediary transmit what?
The dagim or the basar?
Let me say it again. That the dagim, when he puts it into kutach, is serving as the intermediary to transmit the taam of basar into the cholav. The cholav, on the other hand, is not transmitting its taam into the basar, because we're not talking about basar, we're talking about fish. He's cooking fish with kutach. But the fish plays the role of transmitting the taam of basar into the kutach. So again, if he cooks the fish in a fleishika pot, then that already sets up the taam of basar as a weaker taam, right? It's already a taam sheni. And although a taam sheni could generate isa, but not in the case of heterabola. But why not say that if a taam sheni, in the case where the fish was cooked in a fleishika pot, is not able to generate an isur when it mixes with cholav, why not apply the same logic to the case where he cooks the fish together with basar? The fish now picks up the taam of basar, and now he's passing it on to the kuta.
Yeah, go ahead. The fish is end of the taam mishlam, though, isn't it?
Oh, so but let me just try to ignore your question only for the sake of my havamina.
Right.
What's my havamina? That he thinks that in both cases, whether it's fish in a fleishik pot or fish together with fleishiks, the fish is now picking up the taam of basar and transmitting it to the cholav. And the fish is now playing that role as an intermediary. So therefore he asks the following question. Why should this approach, as opposed to the acherim, reject the possibility that even in the case where the fish was cooked in a fleishik pot, together with fleishiks, I meant to say, the fish is now playing the role as the intermediary to transmit the taam of basar into the cholav, and the fish itself is heter bala. There's no isur of taam basar in fish. He's hard pressed to understand what's the difference. Why is it that in the case of a fleishik pot, Shmuel is matir in kutach, whereas if it's cooked together with the meat, Shmuel says that would be awesome. In both cases, the fish is playing that intermediary role to carry the taam of the basar and to inject it or transmit it into the cholav. So to the same extent, you're matir when the fish was cooked in a fleishik pot to carry that taam, you should go ahead and be matir in the case where the fish was cooked with meat at the same time. And the answer, I think, is your answer, Lenny, that he's saying now, let's go back to the opening line, that ein b'koch tam sheni atzmo lios osur, that the only time I can apply this principle that the fish could not serve as an intermediary to carry the tam basar into the cholov and generate an isur is only if it's a tam sheni with a terubola. But fundamentally, even if the fish is only an intermediary to transfer the taam basar to the cholav, that itself would generate an isur basar b'cholav. So therefore, if he cooks fish together with meat in the same pot, now the fish is being used for kutah, the fish is now transmitting the taam of basar into the cholav, and not vice versa. So it's a one-way street. What do they call it? Chad Sitrit here in this country, right?
Then it wouldn't be.
The Sphere Lady ain't such you shnam nos the tam zevzeh. it's not necessary for the kutach to give tam into the basar. I'm sorry, into the
dag.
It's enough that the dag serves as the intermediary to carry the tam of the basar into the kutach. So that injection of the tam basar into the kutach generates an isa bas mechalav. If the tam basar is going into the chalav through the intermediary of the dagim, that's not no same tam bar no same tam. That's not what Shmuel had in mind. Shmuel was not saying that, well, you know what, you cook the fish with fleishiks and therefore the fish cannot be this conduit and an intermediary to bring the tam of the basar into the chalav. That's not what Shmuel meant. If Shmuel meant that, then we would go back to the acherim of the Ramban and say that even if he cooked fish together with fleishiks, you'd be allowed to cook that fish with milchiks because it's only the fish that's carrying the tam of the basar into the chalav. Then, if the fish is carrying the tam of the basar into the chalav, that is basar b'chalav, according to the third interpretation, we'll call it Rebbe Kivayger. That is basar b'chalav, and that's exactly what's going to happen when he cooks fish with meat, and then he wants to use the fish for kuta. The fish is serving as the intermediary to bring the tam of basar into the chalav, and that itself is enough to generate an iser basar b'chalav. In the case where he cooks the fish in a fleishika pot, which is Shmuel's case, there we have the combination of a tam sheni with heter and bola. It's not that the fish is picking up the tam in its original form from the basar and transmitting it to chalav. In that case, it would be awesome in Taurus basar chalav. But the fish is not really transmitting the tam of the basar. Who is really transmitting? It's the kedera, exactly. The walls of the kli, the shuliyah kedera, together with the fish, that's already called the tam sheni. And a tam sheni doesn't have the power to generate an iser of basar b'chalav.
Can't?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can't you say that if the fish is cooked in the same pot with the basar,
the cook is in the fish
is cooked with the basar in the same pot?
Right.
Isn't the fish then upgraded to a basar?
The fish has gravy, you say?
No, in the fish then upgraded.
Upgraded. Oh, it's up, the fish is upgraded to the status of basar. That's what Tom Kiker is saying.
Yes.
But I wouldn't call it basar mamish.
No,
I would say it's transmitting tam basar, which is tam kiker, into the kutach.
Yeah.
And that's enough to generate basar b'chalav. Let's see the next paragraph and see if this will shed a light. He says, Nafkemina, b'meiniach machole chalav, the kedera de sarit. So he's putting cheesecake into a fleishika pot.
Cold. He's not cooking it.
I'm going to assume it's hot. But let's see. Maybe you're right and I'm wrong. But let's go along. You know, let's...
let's just wait.
Let's just wait for a minute. Okay? He says, l'dei rishona asur. Why? Because according to the Dei Rishona, we need to get to a tam shlishi. How do we get to a tam shlishi? That's because he cooks fish in a fleishik pot. The fish becomes a tam sheni, and then later on in the kutach it becomes a tam shlishi. But in this case, there's no fish. He puts the cholov directly into the fleishika pot. At that point, just like we said about the fish that was cooked in a fleishika pot, and it picks up the tam shady of what? Of basar. So to hear, the milk, the cheese, will pick up the tam shady of basar. Why? Because he places the cheesecake on top, directly on top of the kedera bisaris.
So we're talking about touching now.
Right, but everything is hot. That's what I think. Otherwise, if it's cold, I don't see what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
But well, again, I want to reserve judgment till we finish the paragraph and see the whole the whole presentation. He says, L'deya shniya v'shlish is shari. Now, let's go to the Kedera. Let's go back to the Kedera of the second approach, right? The Kedera of the second approach, even if it has basar in it, the fish is mutter with cholav. In the third approach, we said no, that if he cooks the fish with basar in the same pot, it's also here where he puts milchiks down on the kedera besaris, it's mutter. Why? Kevan shatam basar shenichlas amachal hutam kolush. In other words, we're already up to the point of a tam kolush, and a tam kolush, if it's heter, could not generate isur. So let's just try to digest this. If you go with the first pshat, so you need to set up a tam shlishi, that's heter, and now would inject its tam into a tam shlishi. Here in this case, clearly you don't have a tam sheni that's passing on its tam to the tam to a tam shlishi, because he's putting the milchiks directly down in the fleshing of pot. However, if we hold that a tam sheni could not generate an isur, just we had a problem in the case where he cooks fish in the together with meat, because that's a case of a tam rishon. But a tam sheni per se would be mutter. So therefore, when he puts down the cholav into the kedera besaris, he's getting a tam sheni. Why? Because the tam of basar goes into the walls of the keli, and from the walls of the keli, it goes into the tam shil, and he's ending up with tam sheni. You'll ask me if tam sheni is mutter, that even the case where he cooks the fish with the basar, that's also a tam sheni. The answer is, we're saying that that's tam rishon. And he says that la'alocha kosav Rabbi Yad Yehuda de'ein alocha kedas Rabban, which is the first of the three, el karov haposkim, and rov haposkim apparently hold that tam sheni could not generate an isur in the next mixture, which means that the milchiks could not pick up a tam iser here, because the tam basar is a tam sheni, it's a tam kolosh. It went from the basar to the walls of the kli, and now it's going from the walls of the kli into the macholei cholav. Yosef, you wanted to make a comment here? I'm just trying to get the structure. I think I'm on the right track. I'm not saying I have it all, but so let's just go over this one more time, because I see that there are serious nafkamina seal alocha. We have one nafkamina in the case where he cooks fish together with meat in the same pot. We have another nafkamina going in a slightly different direction, in a case where he puts milchiks down into a fleshing of pot, and I assume the reverse as well. And the first approach was that a tam sheni could not generate an iser of a tam shlishi, but the tam sheni itself would be also. So clearly, according to the first approach, which he identifies as the Ramban, we're going to have a problem with tam sheni, and that's going to be the case where he puts milchiks down into the pot which was used for basar. That's a tam sheni, and it's asur according to the Ramban. But now we're going in a different direction. We're saying that tam sheni would never prohibit any sort of basar b'cholav. Tam sheni doesn't have the power to generate an isur. And the case where he cooks fish together with meat in the same pot, that's called a tam sheni. Why is it called a tam sheni? Because the tam basa goes into the fish and from the fish into the kutach, and therefore it's mutter. And once again, if tam sheni is mutter, then when he puts milchiks down into a fleshika pot, that would be mutter, because that's tam sheni. And finally, the third opinion, which identifies with the Rabbi Kiveger, is that in the case where he cooks fleshiks together with fish simultaneously, the fish, is not a conduit to bring the tam basar into the kutach, but rather the tam of the meat itself is in the fish, because he cooked them together. That's a tam ki ikar. And then when he cooks it with milk, he creates basar b'chol. And that's called, in the language of Kiveger, the Ein Tzarch Shiyu Shneim Nosnim Tam Zemazeh. Even though the fish has picked up the tam of basar and it's now injecting it into the chol of its asur, so you see that you don't need Nosnim Tam Zemazeh, two-way street as we called it. And according to the third approach of Rabbi Kiveger, that a tam sheni can never be asur in the case where he puts milchiks down onto a fleshika surface, it would not be asur because that's a tam sheni. However, the third approach says, as we indicated over and over again, that you cannot take the fish that was cooked together with fleshiks and cook it with milchiks, because then you're really just simply taking the tam of basar, and it's almost in its original, and cooking and entering it into the kutach. Now, in the next part of this essay, he wants to analyze how did each one of these shitos come to its conclusion.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah, please.
At the end of the paragraph, he writes, "Nachkamin the chometz kotem pesach."
Right, because chometz before Pesach is called hetera bola, so we would have the following distinction. If he would put a piece of matzah, let's say hot matzah, I don't mean matzah literally, but anything that could be used on Pesach, and he puts it onto a hot chometz sticky keli, then we could accept Rove Poskim, who would say that it's mutter. Why? Because the chometz went into the pot. From the pot it goes into the matzah, and that's called the tam sheni. If on the other hand he has matzah that was cooking together with chametz in the same pot, then Rove Poskim would say it's asur. And the reason for that, as we explained, is because ein tzarich sheyitnu tam zeh bazeh. That's what I think he means. Does that satisfy your question? I don't know.
Yeah, I just wasn't wondering. What.
Now, what's the source for the first opinion? So it says that Kara, this is Gemara later on, Kara shebishel babasar lo yivashel b'cholov. You're not allowed to cook milk in a fleshika pot. Now, the Rambani asks the following question. What's terrible about cooking milk in a fleshika pot? Why not say that the tam of the basar is a tam sheni? Why? Because the tam basar went into the keli, and now the keli is giving a tam sheni into cholov, which means a tam shlishi. And yet it's asur. And the answer is going to be that the reason why this is asur is because a tam sheni is asur, and it's not a tam shlishi. The tam sheni is going directly into the cholov. It's not a case where you have a fish in the middle, right? We said that to put, according to the first day, if you would put milchik of a cheese onto a hot fleshika pot, it would be asur. And the reason for that is because it's tam sheni and not tam shlishi. Only the case where there was a fish as the intermediary, that let me apply the principle of tam kolosh as a tam sheni that can't generate an iser in the tam shlishi if it's all heter. The same logic is going to apply in the case where he cooks milchiks in a fleshika pot, because the tam of the basar is a tam sheni that's going directly into the cholov. and you don't have that intermediary of a tam sheni that's now passing on its tam into a tam shlishi, you don't have the fish in the middle. Is that clear? However, according to the second and third approaches that maintain that a tam sheni itself is mutter, not because, as we said, a tam sheni doesn't have the power to generate an Isur and tam shlishi, but the tam sheni itself is mutter, unless he cooks them both simultaneously, is there three different explanations for that. Tosfos, the Ramban, and the Mata Yonason. Tosfos, which you'll see on Taf Kuf Yud Ches, in Zvachim, says that the reason why you should not cook milk in a fleishik pot is because it's tam sheni be'isur. So whereas in the case of fish, we had tam sheni beheter, that was called heter bala. Here we have tam sheni be'isur. And when do we apply the principle of Shmuel that tam sheni is not in itself capable of generating an Isur? That's only if it's hetera bala. Now you might ask the following question: why is this called Isura bala? I mean, after all, the tam of the basar in the kli is still a tam heter. But I think the answer is that Tosfos Zvachim is holding that since both tamim are mixing simultaneously, when the tam emerges by cooking the chalav in the kdeira b'sarit, it's already basam chalav. It's already an isura bala situation. You follow? When the chalav is bolea the tam basa through the walls of the kli, that's called isura bala. In the case where the basa was cooked in a flesh, where he cooked a fish in a flesh of a pot, there the tam basa is going into fish. Here the tam basa is going directly into the chalav. But that would imply that if you had the tam sheni going into fish, then that tam sheni would not generate an isur, and hence we derive the conclusion that tam sheni osur eino atzmo eino oser. Then we have the Ramban explaining the yesh omrim that shani hasam sheis bashlu the yesh kocha eish liflot mamish shel isur. That he thinks that since there is a fire going on underneath the kedera b'sarit, as he's cooking cheese in that pot, that is capable of getting the original basar out of the tavshil. So if there's an intermediary of fish, then the fish is already a tam kolch. But if you're going directly from the fleshka pot into the milchiks, then since it's cooking together, that's called a tam mamish. I'm not exactly sure why, according to this explanation of the Ramban, it would be permissible to cook fish and meat together and then use the fish with milchiks. What about the koach ha'esh here that takes out the mamish of isur?
Pulls it out.
So that I don't understand. And finally, we're left with the Mata Yonason, which is Rabbi Yonason Ivashitz, and he wants to explain Dafka Michael Shieshlo Tam Mitzad Atzmo Havi Nosing Tam Beros Mashenken Kli Sheelo Tam Uplato Mitzad Atzmo is Mashabola Bikdera Havi Ki Ilu Kulo Kanus Bikdera Bahavi Tam Rishon. As a separate din of Kedera over here, because the nature of the Tam and the Kedera that makes it into a Tam Rishon. So that has to be taken under advisement. So see if you can hold on to these pages so we don't have to go through this constantly looking for our pages if you follow it on YouTube.